This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the first of a two-part series on the vote coming up on a constitutional convention for the state of Illinois. We'll hear that from Jim Meadows and Ed Kieser's forecast coming up in a moment. First, AM 580 News. Illinois Senate Republican leader Frank Watson remains hospitalized 3 days after he suffered a minor stroke. A spokeswoman for Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis says the 63-year-old state senator from Greenville is in satisfactory condition. Watson spokeswoman Patty Hsu says Watson has been hospitalized since last Friday. That's when he started to feel ill while campaigning for a GOP Senate candidate in southern Illinois. Hsu says doctors consider the stroke very minor, and she says Watson is expected to make a full recovery. A unique meeting of three governmental bodies tonight in Champaign marks one of the first discussions of a plan to add classroom space to that city's north side. The Champaign School District has promised to add new so-called strands of classes north of University Avenue as part of its consent decree over racial equity in education. Tonight, Unit 4 explains the details of its plans with the school board, the Champaign Park District, and the city council in attendance. That meeting is at 7 o'clock at the Champaign Public Library. The initial plan calls for a brand new and larger Booker T. Washington School, as well as a new wing at Garden Hills School. Education funding remains one of the most talked about issues in Illinois politics, but as Sean Crawford reports, politicians have been unable to make any headway on changing the system.
House lawmakers have wrapped up a month-long series of hearings on school finance, but the effort failed to advance the topic. Mike Smith chairs the House Education Committee. He says the gatherings were more of the same.
We haven't necessarily heard anything terribly new, but I think it does show that there is some concern among the legislature about doing something, and whether it's this year or next year when we start a new General Assembly, hopefully these hearings can help lay some groundwork.
Most of the discussion at the hearings centered on what's been dubbed a tax swap that would raise the income tax and provide some property tax relief. The theory is that it would more fairly fund schools, but it's met resistance in the legislature for years. Smith says as long as the governor remains opposed to an income tax hike, it's doubtful it can pass. I'm Sean Crawford.
The president of Western Illinois University is receiving a pay hike of a bit more than 6%. Rich Egger has that story.
The raise will bring L. Goldfarb's salary to $270,000. Board of Trustees Chairman Stephen Nelson says Goldfarb has been active in the community, both in Macomb and in the Quad Cities. He's also been active with alumni across the country and around the world.
You know, it's just all sorts of things that he does over and above what we think being a university president is, and based upon.
Nelson hopes Goldfarb will remain Western's president for many years to come. Goldfarb says he will not accept anything above the 3.5% raise given to Western's other employees. He'll donate the difference to the campus community. Rich Egger reporting.
A standoff between union workers and their managers has continued for more than 2.5 years in Effingham. As Amanda Vinicky reports, both sides say the situation is proof that labor laws are out of touch.
The dispute is between 50 mental health counselors and other staff who work for Heartland Human Services, a treatment center for people with HIV, mental illness, or substance abuse problems. Since the workers unionized in 2006, they and Heartland haven't been able to agree on a contract. National AFL-CIO leader Rich Trumka says management has refused to bargain in good faith. He says the drawn-out struggle is a classic example of what's wrong with the nation's labor laws.
This is the most ridiculous system of any of the industrialized countries. It is employer-dominated.
But Heartland's director, Cheryl Compton, says management has negotiated faithfully. She has an opposite stance on labor law.
There are too many laws in favor of the unions. Employers, you know, have to negotiate these contracts under very difficult circumstances.
Heartland and the unionized workers are set to meet again at the end of this month. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
An antiques dealer in Champaign County says she has a ledger that details the names of people who donated land and money to establish what would become the University of Illinois. Denny Schertz Hubert says she bought the ledger from a man who found it at a demolition site in downtown Urbana. She says it dates back to the 1860s. Schertz Hubert says the ledger contains handwritten entries of the donations that were given to create the Illinois Industrial University, which is now the University of Illinois. Champaign County Historical Archives officials say they're making sure that book is preserved. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Many people are just beginning to notice the debate over whether to draw up a new state constitution for Illinois. But the question will be right in front of voters' faces this fall. A referendum on whether to hold a constitutional convention comes up every 20 years in the state, and 2008 is the year. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on the arguments for and against.
The constitutional convention question may not be whipping up much enthusiasm, but it did get several dozen people, mostly college students, to fill up a University of Illinois lecture hall last week for a debate on ConCon, as it's sometimes called. Local ConCon supporter John Bambanek is in the audience. He says that compared to the last such referendum in 1988, the future of the state constitution isn't getting much attention this year.
Well, I think there was certainly more funding that was spent for advertising in 88, both on the yes and no sides. This time, that money just simply hasn't been available to either side.
A lack of spending means you haven't been seeing many TV ads about the constitutional convention. But debates and forums on the issue have been held all over Illinois. On this day, Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn appears at two debates, the first one in Carbondale. At the U of I, Quinn repeats his arguments that a flawed state constitution has allowed state government to slide into unresponsiveness and gridlock.
The latest poll showed 82% of the people of our state feel our state is on the wrong track. It's not addressing issues like school funding and utility reform. And so how long do we have to wait? The idea of a constitution, it belongs to the voters, not to the office holders.
Quinn says if the vote is yes on the ConCon referendum, voters will elect delegates next year to hammer out a new state constitution. He's confident the new document will force the governor and legislative leaders to pay more attention to the public will. But Quinn's debate opponent, Kevin Semlow of the Illinois Farm Bureau, says a constitutional convention would be too expensive, take too long, and open up too much of the Constitution to rewriting, when only parts of it need fixing. He says the politicians tying up state government now could very well tie up a convention.
And that's what we're afraid of, is that we'll just see more deadlock. We'll see the messes currently in Springfield transferred from the current state capital over to the old state capital for 2 or 3 years. We don't need that now.
The old state capitol was the site of the last constitutional convention in 1968 and 69. Delegates elected to that convention worked for 9 months to produce the constitution we use now. Former state senator and comptroller Don Clark Netsch was one of the delegates.
In 1970, the belief that we needed to revisit the whole constitution, that we just simply had to go back to the drawing board, was very widespread. You know, both political parties, the civic groups, business, labor, the media, practically anyone you could name. And it had been developing, well, really since the end of World War II, from about maybe 1947 on.
The 1870 Illinois Constitution was considered inflexible and out of date. The 1970 Constitution gives local governments more authority to issue bonds, grants home rule powers to many cities and counties, and, Netsch says, is a more workable document than the previous state constitution. But ConCon supporter John Bambanek says the changes in the 1970 state constitution led inevitably to its abuse.
Government considered itself too restricted to be able to function. So the constitution was written to empower government to function in a way they thought was appropriate. The problem is that they opened the floodgates in a lot of ways and empowered government and officials so much that there aren't any meaningful checks.
Bambanek and Netsch actually agree on some of the changes they'd like to see in the Illinois Constitution, but Netsch wants to see those changes done as individual amendments or by voting in new leaders and legislators. She thinks a constitutional convention risks being taken over by special interests who would make unforeseen changes to the state constitution. Meanwhile, Bambanek believes a convention is the only way to bring about real change. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Tomorrow, we find out what changes ConCon backers would like to see in a state constitution. the weather picture will change over the next few days, according to our meteorologist, Ed Kieser. His forecast calls for a cloudy sky in northern Illinois today with scattered showers. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, increasing cloudiness through the course of the day, with some scattered showers arriving during the afternoon. Still sunny in central Indiana and the south. Today's highs will range from 60 in far northern Illinois to 72 in the far south. The high 65 in Champaign-Urbana, with morning sunshine followed by clouds in the afternoon and maybe a few late afternoon sprinkles. For tonight, clearing in northern Illinois. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, cloudy with a few scattered showers early, then clearing. In central Indiana and the south, cloudy with a chance of a few widely scattered showers. The low 39 in Champaign-Urbana, elsewhere ranging from 33 in far northwest Illinois to 48 in the far south, a clearing night after some evening showers in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, sunny in central Illinois with a high of around 60. In northeast Illinois and northwest Indiana, a mix of clouds and sun, a few showers near Lake Michigan, and elsewhere mostly sunny. Highs from only 52 in northeast Indiana to 68 in far southern Illinois. Beyond that, Wednesday looks to be increasingly cloudy in Champaign-Urbana, the high 58. Cloudy with periods of rain Thursday and a high of 56. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.